Thank you. That was good. All right. Scripture reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to eliminate part of it, but start in the middle. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, love, faith, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. 18 years ago, Jeff Colin found that his marriage was failing up and falling apart because of a lifestyle that was overcome by drug abuse and sexual sin. And God came into his life in a new way and transformed him and has given him a significant ministry to people, and especially to Christians who struggle with sexual sin. We're delighted they're here this morning. You heard the announcement about the seminar. It's Friday and Saturday at Grove City if you're interested. But please welcome Jeff Colon.
Thanks, brother. Bless you. Good morning. I'm going to just hang down here, and I want to interweave my testimony, what I want to share with you this morning. But that scripture we read was an encouragement to a young minister that was in the midst of an early church that already was being affected by a perverted gospel that was leading others astray. And Brother Paul is writing to him from prison because he's suffering for that very gospel that he's exhorting this young minister to hold fast to. And he says in this verse, he's reminding Timothy of just the way it is. And he says this, he says, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And he says that this is a solid foundation of God, and it stands having this seal. In other words, this is a kingdom principle. This is something that is etched in the cornerstone of the church. It doesn't change. It's a reality about God. And that he knows everybody in this place. When you walked in here this morning, he knew whether you were his or whether you were not his. And I was one of those men that we'll talk about here that thought I was his, that had the name Christian, but yet iniquity and sin was ruling and reigning in my life. But God knew who I was, and he knows who everyone is in this place this morning. He goes on and he says, Timothy, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. In other words, Timothy, don't be surprised. This is just the way it's going to be. Timothy, when believers are to get gathered together, this is just the way it's going to be. There's going to be some in the midst of you, right? In the midst of the church that will be vessels of dishonor. And there will be others that are vessels of honor. And as I look at today and what's going on in the church, 50% of Christian men struggling with pornography, 20% of Christian women struggling with pornography. The divorce rate inside of the church as outside of the church is the same. Christians popping prescription medication just to cope with life, just like non-believers. And the list goes on and on and on. And what that tells me is this verse is true. And he even describes in chapter 3 that he talks about a time that will come in the earth where men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness. In other words, they'll look like a Christian, but they'll deny the power thereof. They won't be exemplifying in their lives the power of God, the power of the cross, which transforms a life from dishonor to honor, from light, from darkness to light. That was me 18 years ago. I was a professing Christian. If you knew me back then, you would have thought I was an upright, good standing guy, had a good job in Manhattan, had a nice house out on Long Island, had a nice Christian wife. But yet, when I was in Manhattan on Wednesday, I can go down to 42nd Street, check out the peep shows, and look at pornography. On Friday night, I'd get my paycheck, get some crack cocaine, pick up a prostitute, hang out in a hotel all night, come home, lie to my wife, tell her I got stuck at work, and then I'd go to church on Sunday morning where I could teach kids the Bible. I played up in the worship team. I had a form of godliness. And I'm so thankful that God didn't let me go on in that delusion, in that deception. Because every time I walked in that church, even though I thought I knew him, he knew I didn't know him, but he loved me enough to pursue me. He loved me enough to make a way for me to come out of that condition. And I'm very thankful this morning, and I know there's many in here, or most, that are struggling in one form or another. And God knows it, and he's concerned about a lot of you. But God's a lover. He's not here to condemn us. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a product of his mercy. That's all I'll ever be. But God made it clear to me that if I was to name his name, that I was to depart from iniquity. Because one day we will all stand before the Lord. And this seal, this kingdom principle, will be reality. Jesus talked about it a lot in the scriptures. He gave us a lot of parables about the kingdom of God and how it works. He talked about people, many people, saying, "Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that." And he says, "But I will say to them," and this is very important, he says, "I will say to them," because the Lord knows those who are his. Doesn't matter what I think, my opinion. Doesn't matter what your professor thinks, what your pastor thinks, what your parents think, what you think. The Lord knows those who are his. And on that day, many will be saying, "Lord, Lord, I did this. I prophesied. I worked miracles in your name." And Jesus Christ will look them in the eye and say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Just don't relax. Okay? I'm from New York and I'm Hispanic. I get a little intense. I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to beat you up. Relax. All right? He's looking at me like, "Dude, chill." But he's going to look at us one day with eyes of fire, with perfect knowledge. And to most, many, he will say, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness." In other words, you did your own thing. Your will was unbroken. You lived your life how you wanted to live. You weren't a doer of my words. That was me. I could teach the word, man. I could quote it to you, but I didn't live it out in my heart. Therefore, I carried all the bondage. That scripture, Romans 6:16, "To whatever a man yields to, he becomes a slave." That was me. Growing up on Long Island, man, just fooling around my friends, running into Manhattan, you know, going to the massage parlors, checking pornography out, fooling around with drugs, you know. But little by little, that stuff mastered me. That scripture came true. I became a slave. And when things got really bad and my born-again sister came and offered Christ to me, it reminded me of the book of Hosea, where God has his prophet go find a wife of harlotry, because God is teaching this prophet what it's like for the Lord to pursue a people that are looking to everything else but him. So he goes and he takes a wife of harlotry, and all I can say is that's what the Lord did for me. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't want God. I loved my life in this world. I wanted everything this world had for me. But Jesus Christ came to me through my sister and said, I want to marry you, even though you're a harlot through and through, Jeff, and I know you're going to continue to be a harlot. I still want to marry you. And I have, to this day, a wedding ring from Jesus. It says, I am my beloved, and he is mine. Me, a harlot. We're all harlots. There's none that want God. But he loves harlots because he knows how to change harlots. So I did what a lot of us do. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus into my life. I joined church. I learned all the Christianese. Learned how to talk. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. 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 See, he got it too. I learned how to act in front of Christians, but I had a secret life. So when my wife met me, she thought I was a nice Christian guy. Until I disappeared 2 weeks after our honeymoon. I was a deceiver. How many stories I can tell you like that? So the Lord knows those who are his. We can't fool him. We're all going to stand before him one day. We're all going to give an account. But the encouraging part to this passage is this. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified. In other words, set apart. That's God's desire, to set you apart for himself. It's all about a relationship. That's all he wants. He wants your heart. He wants you set us. I didn't understand that. I just thought he'd help me out a little bit, and I'd go to church, I'd feel better, and my life would kind of be enhanced. So I tried to include Jesus into my life, and what I found out was that's not Christianity. He wanted my heart. He wanted me to know him. He wanted me to have a relationship with him. That's what the book of Hosea is all about, a lover going after his people, even though they're harlots. That was me. So if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master. I can change my situation around. You can change your situation around. And God pursued me. Like I said, I was a Christian outwardly. I said that sinner's prayer, but I went on for years as a Christian, given over to sin, trying to do the right thing. Deep down in my heart, I knew what I was doing wrong, but I didn't know how to get free. I was bound. So I did what most guys do. I figured out I just need a nice Christian wife. That will solve my problems. I'll be able to have sex. You know, that'll take care of this lust thing. And, you know, I'll stop doing the drugs. I just need a good Christian wife. That's what I need. I can line you up 1,000 men here right now that will tell you the same thing. Guess what? That's not what you need, brother. That's not what you need, sister. You need Jesus. So when I met her, I really just ruined her life. I drug her through my... I just cut out. Okay. Drug her through the mud. Now, if I was the Lord and I offered my hand to you in marriage and you went playing the harlot, you know what I would do? Fine. Forget you. If that's what you're going to be like, I'll find someone that's going to return my love. I'll find someone that's going to be faithful. That's what I would have did, and I tell the men all the time at the program, you need to say every day, Lord, I thank you, you're not like Jeff Cologne. Because I got a lot of pride. I couldn't handle it. But God's lowly. He's pure love and mercy, and somehow he can handle it because he loves us, and all he wants to do is give us himself. So he's willing to bear with that. He'll take it. Even when we're flaunting our other loves in front of him. And I did that to the max. So I got married. Continued on in my sin. And God made a way for me. In Hosea chapter 3, it talks about this wife. You know, he married her. She went on being a harlot. She winds up in the slave market. He has to go now and buy his wife back in the slave market. Talk about humiliating. But then he says, I'm going to bring you to myself and I'm going to be a husband to you. I'm going to teach you what it means to have a husband that will provide for you, that will take care of you, that will meet your needs. And God did that for me. We found out about a program. I went into a program for 9 months, and God took, all I could say is he took me away to himself. And I learned more about the word. I learned how to pray better. And I really believe when I got out, I would be different. I'd be the husband my wife needed and all that. And I got out after 9 months, and 2 weeks after I got out, I was back on the crack pipe and going after prostitutes, thinking, what in the world? My wife was devastated, thinking, finally, I'm going to have the husband I want. And I didn't know what happened. And I went on for 3 more years in a living hell. Because knowing the truth and knowing you're not living in it is a living hell. And Jesus said, when a house is clean and you don't do anything, in other words, you don't let God take his rightful possession, it gets 7 times worse. And that's what happened to me. I became like an insane man, out for days, getting high, not eating, not drinking. Yet, on the other side, I worked in engineering in Manhattan, had my nice little house out on Long Island, and nobody knew what was going on except my wife and my pastors. And one night I had been out for 3 days. I wound up in this apartment with a prostitute and these 2 guys. I was losing my mind. I was hearing voices. And I locked myself in a bathroom, and these guys broke the door down, and they grabbed me and put a knife to my throat. And all I thought in my heart was, God, I'm ready. I can't handle this no more. Just end it now. There was no fear. I just wanted them to slit my throat. And for some reason, another guy grabbed his hand. He says, no, man, let him go. And I walked out of there. I got in my car. And all I knew how to say was, God, help me. Please, I'm going insane. And he spoke to me. I couldn't even think on how to get home. My mind was so gone. And he said to me, you can believe this or not, just follow that car. I got behind a car and literally just followed it. And it led me right to the front door of my house. I walked in the front door, and my wife was there with the women from the church on their knees praying, God, please, don't let Jeff die out there. Please, God, bring him home. And I knew it was God's heart pleading for me, even though I was doing what I was doing. And the book of Hosea is just one pursuit after another while God's people are just willfully going after their idols. So I wound up at this place in Kentucky 18 years ago called Pure Life Ministries. My pastor had church disciplined me. My wife told me, look, I'm going after God. If this is what you want, you're going to have to do it in another home. And I was like, you know what? That's fine. I'm tired of trying to do this Christian thing. You know, I hear testimonies, and that's great for them, but obviously it's not working for me. I am a miserable person. God's not real to me. I've tried everything. I'm tired of this. You know what? I'll just leave my wife. I'll forget church and just get an apartment and do what I want to do. I mean, why do this to myself? And a small, still voice spoke to me. You can do that, Jeff, but in the end, you will go to hell. And I says, well, maybe I'll try the program. I had a little bit of fear of God left. So I showed up at this place in Kentucky. I'd never been out of the city, never seen a farm. And all I thought when they drove me out to this place is, I'll never find my way out of here. This is weird. These people are weird. I called my wife. I said, hon, I'm in the wrong place. They were weird. Hillbillies. And all I can say is I came into direct contact with the cross. And Jesus Christ was in my face like he had never been before. Because that is a consecrated place. There are people living there that are consecrated. There's prayer going on all the time, and the presence of God is there. And God was in my face. And light was coming at me from every direction. In my counseling sessions, in the chapel services, I'd go out on the prayer trails, and God was just there in my face. And God challenged me. And he basically told me why I couldn't get free from my sexual sin. He said, Jeff, you haven't given me your heart. You've been trying to include me in your life. That's not Christianity. I can't help you if you don't give me your heart. And that's really what we teach at Pure Life. You want to live pure? You want to not be bound by pornography and all other kinds of stuff? Get into an intimate relationship with Jesus. That's your only hope. I didn't know that then, but I know it now. So God challenged me and basically said, Jeff, you know a lot about me. You could tell people a lot about me. You know a lot about my word, but you don't know me. And the challenge was, are you going to be a doer of the word? Are you going to love? Because sexual sin is just the tip of the iceberg. The real root issue of sexual sin is a selfish heart. Living for the dictates of your flesh. Not walking in the Spirit, not obeying the Word of God, but living for self and living for this world and everything this world can give me. And sexual sin is just an outgrowth from that. That's all it is. It's the tip of the iceberg. And God just told me, if you want your inside world to change, which Jesus said, do something different from the heart. Start being a doer of my Word. So I said, okay, I'm going to do this, Lord. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what these people are telling me to do. You've had that 10 minutes there a long time. Okay, jumps to five. Great. So I did that. And God used a peculiar thing to help me. He used a kid that was in the same room with me that I didn't like. Because he struggled with an issue that at that time Mr. Macho had a hard time with. And he knew it. And every day he would taunt me with it. And I went to my counselor. I said, look, he does that again. There's going to be a problem. In other words, I'm going to take care of him. And he's like, you can't do that. You need to pray for him. Pray for him. Yeah, Jesus said, pray for him. Love him. Okay. So I'd go down on the prayer trail and pray. And I knew God knew my heart, so I wasn't Mr. Pious. I said, Lord, you know my heart. You know what I want to do to this guy? You know I can't stand him? But God, I know you love him, so despite how I feel, Lord, you bless him anyway. And I prayed like that for 3 months, and nothing happened. It was like chewing dirt. My heart was harder than ever. But sometimes doing the word of God is like a stone cutter who hits a stone. And you don't understand, but every hit on that stone, there's stresses going on inside that rock. And sometimes on the 101 blow, that rock splits. But during those all those different blows in the beginning, it seemed like nothing was happening. That's what it felt like to me. That's how the Word of God works in your heart when you're doing it. But we have to persist in the things of God. So I just kept doing that. But one day I was down there, same old thing, just praying. God, just help this guy. You know how I feel about him? And all of a sudden, something changed. I felt something down from here well up in my heart. And I began to weep and to cry. And such a love like I had never experienced before began to come out of me. I mean, I love this guy. I never experienced a love like this. And while it's happening, I'm saying to myself, this isn't me. What in the world is this? And I'm pleading, oh, God, please have mercy on him. Please, God. And I'm saying to myself, what is this? This love is beautiful. I've never felt a love like this. And God spoke to me right at that moment. He said, that's how I see you. And all I can say is I saw all the years as a Christian that I spit in his face. And all I could say was, God, I didn't understand. I'm sorry. I didn't understand you. He said, don't you remember? I just want to love you. I just want a relationship with you. Yeah, I know all the stuff you've been doing. I'm not worried about that. I love you. And I fell on the ground, and that Psalm 51 that we sang became a reality in my life. I broke for the first time in my life. And for the first time in my life, as I broke, as I took responsibility, as I understood how I sinned before a holy God, I looked up and my eyes opened to the wonder of who Jesus was and the reality of the cross. And all I could do then was say, God, I'm done. I surrender. Just take my life. I don't care. I called my wife a few weeks later. I said, sell the house. I don't care about my job. I just want to know this God. I just want to give him everything. And that was the beginning of a relationship. And listen, 2 years after that, I remember driving down the interstate and seeing a sign for a hotel. Now, in the past, I would see a sign for a hotel and I would get bodily sick because I would get so overcome with temptation. I would lose bodily functions. That's how in bondage I was. And I never imagined being set free from that. Well, I was driving down the road and I saw that sign and nothing happened. And I said, God, how did you do that? I'm free. I'm free. The power of the cross. It's foolishness to the world, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It changes you. You become a different person. Your whole inside world becomes about Christ and knowing him and experiencing him and living and walking with him every day. And there's no greater joy or satisfaction than that. And then, like at the end of the book of Hosea, where he finally wins your heart, you say, like the children of Israel, what have I got to do with idols anymore? What do I have to do with pornography? What do I have to do with relationships? I've seen them and I've heard them. And you'll fling them to the bats and you'll fling your arms around Jesus and you'll never want to let go. That's what happens at Pure Life Ministries. That's what this weekend is all about. We're not going to sit around talking about pornography and sexual sin the whole weekend. It's about God intervening in your life and bringing you into a love relationship that you never imagined you could have with him. And in turn, God giving you a pure heart and learning what it means to walk with him and to live above the lusts of this world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the pride of life. God's got a purpose for you. He's got a purpose for you. Let him have your heart the way he wants to. It's about a relationship, people. It's not about religion. God can do it if you let him in the way he wants to come in. And Lord, I do pray for these dear souls. I pray that your voice would draw them. I pray that your voice, Lord, would cause them to come to you. And to forsake all the things they've been looking to, Lord, and to enter into the love relationship you have for them, Lord. Bless them, I pray, Lord. Bless them to know you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.